Well, I would appreciate your prayers this morning. I believe the Lord's given us a little something to profit our souls. We wrote on the board, distractions and the antidote. And I want to think a little bit this morning about distractions and about how to weather those and how to do God's will in the midst of distractions. They're not anything new. A distraction is something that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. A distraction prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. An antidote is something that counteracts. And you could say a lot about that, but an antidote to poison counteracts the effects of it. And so this morning, I just want to think about our Christian life and how the Lord wants us to stay on point in our Christian life and be able to see Him in peace and live a successful Christian life, knowing the Lord and being fruitful in His work and in our lives for Him. The Lord really longs for that. And so this morning as we look into that, 1 Timothy 1 and 3, Paul writing to Timothy here, he says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling." And so this morning there's a whole lot said in those little verses there. But Paul told Timothy, he said, you know, you charge some that they don't get caught up teaching any other doctrine than the pure doctrine of the Lord. And he said here something about the end of the commandment. The end of the commandment, the crux of it, the thing that it's trying to get to, is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. And you know, I was just thinking this morning about this idea of the end of the commandment and what the Lord is trying to do in our life. Yes. Do we recognize that the Lord is really wanting, He's really trying to work in our life? And we have an enemy, and he's trying to work too. And I thought about the military and how that when a jet is flying and the enemy wants to take it out, it shoots missiles at it. And sometimes they will throw out these magnesium pellets at the back of these planes and then catch them on fire. And they'll burn at maybe 2,000 or more degrees. And the missile will think that's the plane, because those pellets are hotter than the plane itself, than the nozzle of the jet and the force of the air coming out the back. That is hotter. It provides a brighter illumination that missile thinks, and it perceives that that's the place to go, and so it goes toward that, and it misses its mark in doing that. I just want to think this morning, that's the way we are in a warfare, and we are in a battle for our souls. And the Lord wants us to not only be saved, I love that, to be saved, but I love even more to be saved and to hit the mark through our life, to do God's will, to be close to Him, to pray things down, to have charity for other people. And you know, the enemy will come along and he will throw out things to try to cause us to jump onto that and to cause us to fixate on that. And that's hotter than my experience, seemingly. And that's more exciting than what I'm doing. And there's more joy in that than what I'm experiencing right now. He knows when to throw those things out, doesn't he? When we're feeling down or when we're embattled. Then he comes along and he throws something else out there. And you know, if we're not careful, we will see that and it'll grab our attention. And so Paul told Timothy here, he said, don't give heed to fables. And you know, a fable is a tale. It's a fiction thing. It's something to get people's minds all caught up in it. But there's no substance to it. There's no truth in it. And he said, don't give heed. Timothy, see, he started right off writing to Timothy this letter, helping Timothy to realize, Timothy, I want you to be able to be stable. I want you to be, he said, here, don't give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions. Do you know that when in our life, things come along and they minister more questions than we can deal with. You know, it's okay to have questions. It's okay to seek answers to our questions. But I will tell you, there is a diversion from what the Lord really wants in our life and that blessing that He wants to give us. There's a diversion that He gives. And if we follow that diversion, we'll find ourselves missing the mark. And so this morning, I just want to encourage us that we don't allow distractions to make us miss the mark. There's an antidote for those things. And Paul told Timothy right here what the antidote is. He went on to say, they minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Now, the end of the commandment, Timothy, what God's really wanting, the whole crux of the matter, he said, is charity out of a pure heart. You know, the Lord wants to fill our hearts with love for God and love for people. Isn't that what He said? And maybe we'll read that here in a few minutes. Isn't that what He said? The whole, if you boil it all down, He said, all the law and all the prophets hang on those two things. That we love God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. And we love our neighbor like ourselves. And you know, when we do that, we find ourselves growing, don't we? We find the grace of God flowing in our life. The water of life, it flows into us then as it flows back out. And it's a stream that invigorates and satisfies and satiates the soul. And the Lord wants to give that to us, doesn't He? And so the enemy is very intent on diverting us somehow to something that seems hotter, that seems more bright than what we have at the moment. And he wants to divert us to those things. And then he can cause us to miss the mark. He can get away with it because, as we said, those pellets those planes throw out, they burn it over 2,000 degrees. Or around that 2,000 degrees. And the plane don't have that kind of burn. But you know, it misses the mark because of it, doesn't it? And so this morning, let's look at the things God wants to put in our life. He wants to put in our life charity. That's love. He wants to fill our hearts with love. He wants to fill our hearts with love for God. And you know, He will do that if we will let Him. If we will allow the Lord and just allow Him liberty in our life and not be distracted by what He allows in our life. Because sometimes, as we've read many times, Paul, the apostle, the Lord allowed, it said, the minister of Satan, or the, how did it say, to give him troubles. And you know, and Paul could have fixated on that. But no, he said, this draws me close to God. In other words, this puts me on my knees. This makes me in a place where I reach the Lord. And so instead of fixing our view, our gaze, our look on the things that the Lord allows into our life, which sometimes are hard things. Not all the time, but He allows some hard things, doesn't He? Well, we can fixate on that, and we can look at that, and that can be the center of our life, our mind, our thoughts, or we can let that do what it's meant to do, and that is put us on our knees before God. Lord, I need You again today. I need You to strengthen me. I need You to give me grace from heaven. And you know what He does? He gives grace from heaven. And He strengthens us, and He enlivens our soul. And when God comes near, folks, it fixes our problems, doesn't it? That's the mark that we want to hit. And when we are able to hit that mark, I will tell you, Satan is he's confused. He's not able to do the work he wants to do. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. And of a good conscience. You know, the devil doesn't want you to have a good conscience. He wants to get you all involved in that hurt or whatever somebody said or did or didn't do. And he wants us to get a bad conscience over it. He wants us to get something in our heart that we know in ourselves, we're not right in here. We're not feeling right. I heard about a minister that failed the Lord. And, you know, he said later, I had unforgiveness in my heart. There was no way I could trust God. You know, like that. You know, the Lord wants us to have a good conscience. But we've got to not allow the distractions to take us sidetracked and miss the mark. And it says here, charity out of a pure heart. And of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. There's not any, it's not fake. It's not something that is feigned, but it's true. It's the bedrock of our life, and the Lord wants to give that to us. You know, this vain jangling, some, he said, have turned aside unto vain jangling. And I looked that up. I'll just say what Clark says about that. Empty your vain talking, discourses that turn to no profit, a great many words and little sense, and that sense not worth the pains of hearing. Such indeed is all preaching where Jesus Christ is not held. Do you know the devil wants to get us into vain jangling? He wants to get us into a place where we're not full of charity in our heart. And the love for God that burns bright in our life. The Lord wants that to happen, and we love that to happen, don't we? But we've got to be sure that we don't follow the distractions that the enemy throws out in our life, all over the place, all through our life. He'll throw distractions out, but will we fix on one thing? And that is that we love the Lord with all of our heart, that we keep a good conscience, void of offense toward God and man. Now, don't think the devil won't accuse you, because he will. But I will tell you, we can have a clean conscience and a good conscience that we have done to the best of our knowledge God's will. I want to think a little bit about some of the, just a few things, and we'll mention different ones as we go. You know, there are endless distractions through life. There are endless distractions. If we are going to go to heaven, we're going to have to fix on one thing. And that is that we want to go to heaven. We want to live close to the Lord. We want to obey His commandments. We want to do His will. You know, there are questions we have no answer for. We was talking this morning in Sunday school about, you know, what happens in the resurrection and what kind of body are we going to have. I don't know, and you don't either. We can endlessly follow that thing, and there's a lot of things you could bring into the equation. on every hand. But we don't know. We just, there's just things we see through a glass darkly. And one day we will know, won't we? And so, there's questions, there's many questions that we have. You know, you can fix on those things. I've seen people that fixed, that came in and got saved, and they were so full of prophecy ideas they'd heard in the world, and all of these, and that's all they could think about. And I'm thinking, you know what, you need to be getting close to the Lord. You need to be drawing close to Him right now. You are getting distracted with that thing. You know, there's a time to study those things, but there's a time for us to pray. There's a time for us to seek the Lord. There's a time for us to fix ourselves on what God's wanting to do in our life. And you know, when we do that, it's an antidote for distractions. Just stay fixed. Stay fixed. I'm going to heaven. I don't care what happens. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to live close to the Lord, as close as I know how to live. I'm going to die to myself. When I need to, I'm going to humble myself over and over, no matter what it costs me. Because I want to go to heaven. Do we want to go to heaven this morning? I think most of us here really want to go to heaven. You know, endless whys. I think Rosie one time got into the whys, and she called it, later she called it the whyensia, I think. But you know, and I've been there sometimes to a degree. You know, why this and why that and why do we teach that, and is that really, you know, well, why do others not teach that, and why until we get down to pray and we're thinking why. And we get up and we're thinking why. And we go about our day and we're thinking why. About everything. You know, there's an antidote for that. Get in our prayer closet and draw close to God. And do His will. Do the things we know to do. And leave the things we don't. And when it's time for us to know, God will tell us so. Do those things. Live close to God. Keep a pure heart. Keep a conscience that's void of offense toward God and man as much as possible that lies within us. Endless whys. We don't have to know why about everything. I was so thankful one time. Back, this was in the 80s. And you know what? There was things I didn't understand. I didn't know what to do. And it was getting me. And you know, the Lord just let me know, you don't have to understand all that stuff. You just have to live for me. And if we will live for the Lord and not miss the mark in that, everything else will come into focus when it needs to. Do we believe that today? I hope we do. I hope we know that the one thing I need to do is walk with God. Excuse me. The one thing I need to do is have a real live relationship with the Lord. I need to know His voice. I need to know what it means when I sit down and start reading scriptures. I need the Lord to show me what that means for me today and in my life. Endless musings of every doctrine and idea imaginable. You know, we don't have to read about every religion in the world. We don't have to understand every false idea that Satan has put out there. We don't. Do we? Do we have to understand all those false? No, we don't. There are things we need to understand, and especially when we're dealing with people, there's things we need to understand. And so, but you know, we can be caught in a place that is a distraction and a diversion from what God really wants us to be. Every kind of interpretation of what prophecy means. Somebody did me wrong. Have you ever had anybody do you wrong before? Has anybody in here ever had somebody do them wrong? If you're very old, you have. Has anybody ever had someone do you wrong on purpose? Probably so. Well, you know what? What we do with that has so much to do with whether we miss the mark or whether we hit the mark. Are we going to fix on it? Are we really going to think about it forever and ever? Is that going to be where we focus our attention? Or are we going to focus our attention where God says to focus it? Are we going to allow Him that place in our life? It's important. Folks, I've seen people miss the mark because of these very things. I've seen them get a hurt and get a thorn in their craw until it took them out. Until it took them out. I've seen them get the whys until it took them out. Now, I know the other side of that is that they stopped those deep places of worship with the Lord. And they stopped doing the things they should, and they were diverted. Folks, we don't have to be diverted. It is a choice that we make. We do not have to be diverted. We can serve the Lord with all of our heart and all of our soul and mind and strength if we choose to. Is that true? What about hypocrites, though? There's some hypocrites. There probably is. Do you know there was hypocrites in Jesus' time? Do you know that one of His 12 disciples came up and kissed Him? And it was the worst kind of hypocrisy ever. And it happened. One of the 12 did that to Jesus. There's going to be people we don't understand. There's going to be people that do things that they should not do. There's going to be downright hypocrites from time to time. You know, this morning, we can fix on that. Or we can fix on doing God's will. And bypass that. And allow those pellets to go out into the air. Out wherever. Let God have those things. We don't have to understand it all. We don't have to know all about it. The Lord wants us to have a good conscience. Do what we know to do. And do it well. I want to think a little bit for a moment here about charity. What does charity mean? What is charity? Charity is a love, isn't it? Is love a feeling or a thought? Is it? Well, it accompanies love lots of times, doesn't it? And sometimes it doesn't. But you know what love really is? It's something we do. It's something we care about somebody. We pray for them. We speak a word to them to encourage them. We cross the aisle when we don't feel like it. Anyway, don't we? When somebody's done us wrong, we still master ourselves and speak, don't we? We still do. You know what, folks? Our actions do not have to be determined by what others have done. It's a distraction to charity. You know, the love of God, we can come to the Lord every morning and look to God. Lord, here is the day again. Thank you for that you want to speak to me. Did you know God wants to speak to us? Did you know He loves to speak to us? And He longs for that time when He can? I read about a man that he was just having his devotions every day and having that time. And finally, he was tired of just being tired and waking up and trying to make himself have devotions and all those things. And he said, God, if you want to speak to me, would you wake me up at 4 o'clock in the morning? And you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning, he woke up wide awake. And he looked over and it was exactly 4 o'clock. And he realized, God wants to talk to me. And you know, his worship changed from that to the end of his life. Because he realized, God wants to talk to me. Did you know God wants to talk to you? If we have nothing but the Bible and a set of rules, folks, we don't have God. We have what God said. But we don't have God. God wants to live in us through His Word. He wants to live in our body, in our being. He wants to possess us. He wants to have a relationship with us. And then this Word becomes alive. The Word, Jesus, yes, we have that. And I recognize totally the Word. Jesus is referred to as the Word. Thank the Lord for it this morning. You know, we could spend a lifetime in charity. And there's so many healthy things to do in the Lord. And I want to encourage us today to not be distracted from those things. Not be distracted from our pure heart and a good conscience and our lives full of charity toward God and toward man. You know, a few other things here. I think about fears or regrets. You have any fears or regrets? I have a few. You know, we have to deal with those things. Paul said one time, without were fightings and within were fears, I believe he said. You know, he saw those things. He was a man. He knew what was coming. I think the Lord dealt with some of that. But you know what he did? He stayed right on point. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he said, Father, if you can change this, please do. Of course, we're paraphrasing. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he prayed, and the Lord strengthened him with an angel. But that still was not totally... He still prayed, another time or two after that. The Lord needed strength, and we need strength too. Just want to encourage us to not let our fears or our regrets stop us from hitting the mark. In Philippians 3:13... to 15. Brethren, this is Paul writing again. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. Paul had some things to forget, didn't he? He held the coats of the men that stoned Stephen. He was there consenting to that, wasn't he? And many others. He was headed to Damascus with papers to try to persecute and draw the Christians into prison and death maybe and all of those things. You know, Paul had some things to forget. We might have some things to forget too. Probably not as much as Paul did. But we might have some things that we need to forget too. And it says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I don't want to miss the mark. Paul said, I'm pressing for that mark. That's what I want to hit. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything, in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And so this morning, the Lord help us. I want to read another place here in 2 Timothy. Now, we read earlier 1 Timothy, and then Paul writes another letter to Timothy, and we find in 2:11 that he raises the same kind of issues again. And he says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. You know, Timothy, you charge them. These people striving about words that were of no profit. And the Jews were famous. I've read many times in Clark about the Jewish writings and all of the things that they had. So many ideas upon ideas upon ideas that they had that they put on top of the Word of God. And you know, he said, charge these folks that they don't strive about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Now here's the antidote. Tell them, don't waste your time thinking about things that there aren't any answers to, or things that don't have any profit to them, and wasting all of our time for that. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What a challenge for you and me. Instead of our life being all taken up with all kinds of things to no profit. And this can go into our whole life, our business, our thoughts, our pleasure, our all the things. But he says here, study to show thyself approved unto God. And you know, if we get it right there, we're going to be on mark. We're going to hit the mark, aren't we? But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, or a cancer, or a gangrene, or whatever. Their word, those things that are said, folks, they lodge, and they increase, and our mind thinks about them until it begins to eat away at our spiritual life. And like a cancer, it begins to destroy us. And he said, Timothy, tell them to study to show yourself approved to God. Tell them you shun these profane and vain babblings. They increase unto more ungodliness. And they get bigger and they eat away at your soul. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Do you know, the Lord wants us to understand these kind of scriptures? Let every one that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now you know, the devil in his work tries to divert us from this, and from studying to show ourselves approved, and from living close to the Lord. It says here, they said that the resurrection is past already. It's already past. Well, let me ask you this. If there is no resurrection of the body, and there's no resurrection of our spirit in the world to come, and we just die as a dog, wouldn't that kind of undermine your faith and your... Wouldn't that kind of undermine things? Well, then, when I get in a hard place, what's the use? Right? Am I coming across here? Okay. Think about this. Satan, in his great diversions, wants us to get on some kind of a trail that will make us feel like we don't have to depart from iniquity. What's it going to matter? The resurrection's passed already. Folks, the resurrection is a big deal to you and I. If there's not going to be any judgment in time to come, then what's it matter? It undermines our faith, doesn't it? Well, do you know that he's come up with lots more things? He's come up with the idea that you can get saved and that's it. Never lose it. Well, what would be wrong with that? Wouldn't that kind of undermine your willingness to depart from iniquity when it might cost you your head or your life? Might that kind of undermine? So he says, Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God. Depart from iniquity. Don't let these sayings all around us. I want to challenge us this morning, that if we come across any kind of doctrine that nullifies living for God, don't hear it, folks. Don't listen to it, and don't listen to the people that promote those kind of doctrines. Because this morning, those things, the scriptures speak of it as damnable heresies. Things that undermine our faith. And so he's even got one better than that. He's even got one out better than that. It's determined before you're born whether you're going to go to heaven or hell and how you're going to live in life. That's determined beforehand. And so we get on that rabbit trail. Well, that sounds pretty good. Then I don't have anything to worry about. And so you know what? A whole world claims Christ and lives how they want to. It's undermined their faith. It's taken them and thrown those hot kernels of magnesium out to the side, and they're diverted from following after God and departing from iniquity and knowing the Lord and having a pure and a holy heart. Those things are heresies that land us up on the wrong side of the divide in eternity. And so this morning, let's don't allow ourselves to be diverted. What is the antidote for it? How are we going to get by? Live close to the Lord. Study His Word. Well, then why did He put a whole Bible full of things in here to show us how to live if He didn't expect us to be judged by it and to do it? Folks, it's really clear. Unless Satan has thrown a bunch of his little magnesium out there that seems to burn brighter than the revelation we have in the Lord. The antidote for it is to live close to the Lord and follow Him and allow His Spirit to work in our life. And when He speaks to us, to do it and to move close to Him. Folks, if any of these things come along our way, let's remember the words of Paul and shun profane and vain babblings. They'll increase unto more ungodliness. Folks, if they find a lodging in our heart, there'll be a time. And that maybe not right then, but that cancer will find a time and it will grow and cost us. If you drop on down in the 24th verse of that same chapter, Paul says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient." You know, those are good words for us, aren't they? Let's keep on track. The servant of the Lord must not be a striker. He must not strive with people, but be gentle unto all men, patient, apt to teach, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. I want to tell you what is alongside of, what goes out with that diversion, with that magnesium pellets. I'll tell you what goes out in our life with it, a snare. Have you ever seen a snare set? It's set along a trail, and usually it's a round wire or something, and an animal steps there unknowing. And a rock falls or something and snatches that snare around it. And it can't get loose. And it loses its life many times, or it's held there until its enemy can get there. You know, this morning, the Lord doesn't want us to fall into a snare and a trap. He wants to take us to heaven. And folks, it's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. Of course, we have to believe on the Lord. We have to humble ourselves and divest ourselves of ourselves and repent and follow the Lord all the way. Allow His work in our life. It's much more than just words. These words can be alive, or they can just be a word that people study in college and look at and tear apart and say why they don't believe it and all of those things. Oh, the Lord help us. We're winding down here. Matthew 22. We quoted some of this earlier, but somebody came along. Matthew 22 and 35. A lawyer come along. Now, he wasn't a lawyer probably like the ones we know today, but he was someone, perhaps a scribe, someone in the Word that knew the Word of God. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." There's no diversion in that, is there? That's right on point. That's right where our life needs to be. Did we hear the words all? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Do you know this morning, there isn't anything that's taught that doesn't fall under these two commandments. And so I believe if we will allow that and not allow ourselves to be distracted, I believe the Lord will take us through. The enemy wants to distract us for many reasons. One is our own soul. But another is the charity that we would have toward others. Do you know when we are distracted and we are taken up with whatever it is that's inhabiting our mind, it's kind of hard to really carry a burden for someone else. It's kind of hard to fast and pray when we're distracted in our own spirit and we have no strength and no energy. That's what distractions are good for. We don't want the enemy to have any part of our mind. Let's settle it in our hearts that only one thing in my life is going to come through, and that is to love the Lord with all my heart, all our soul, and all our mind, and our strength, and our neighbor as ourself. That's quite a commission to us today. The Lord help us that we don't allow the enemy in any place to sidetrack us or distract us. I wanted to mention one or two more things here. You know, something we want to do in life, maybe, or accomplish in life, may seem hotter as those magnesium pellets seem to that missile seeking the heat and the light. Something we want to do or accomplish may seem that way. We have to give those things to the Lord too. And you know, He said if you'll do that, that He'll add all these things to us. All the things that'll benefit our life, all the things that'll benefit our home, that tend to joy, that tend to the peace of God in our life and in our home, in our relationships, I'll give you every bit of that good stuff. And it'll be minus those distractions that would keep us from making heaven. It'll be minus those distractions that keep us constantly in an uproar in our mind. Misunderstandings is one more I just wanted to mention. You know, Brother Leslie, I remember he used to tell a story about that. And as I remember it, he said someone was visiting some others or another person, and they said, "Shall we have prayer?" And the person said, "Prayer is always in order." But he thought, they said, prayer's already been offered. And it sounded that way. And if I remember right, that turned into a really big deal. But you know, the devil wants to do that. The antidote for that would have been to bring it to the Lord and forgive. And then maybe someday you could bring it up and talk to the person about it when the time is right. But do you know that when we do things God's way, it works out to be health to our life and health to our spiritual life. And so the Lord help us that we center our affections on things above. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, the Lord wants to add all the good stuff in life to us. That comes from seeking first the kingdom of God. I was talking to someone that is here in the congregation, and they've said it publicly, I think, so I'm going to say it. But you know, when they were younger and they had a responsibility in the congregation and all those things many, many years ago, and they just got to be a part of a society, a group, and said, "Well, I didn't do anything wrong, wasn't wanting to do anything wrong. I just got took up with it and just got busy." And that diversion took them away from the Lord for many years. And do you know, That's the way diversions are. But remember the antidote. The antidote is to keep fixed on one thing, to love the Lord with all of our heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. It's all part of it. And when we do that, then all those things God said, He'll bring back to us. The Lord help us today to have our lives enriched by the Lord and to make heaven our home, have our homes enriched, our congregation enriched. And y'all pray for us too that we can make it in, that we can not ever be diverted by the distractions of the enemy. Amen.